Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Back through time. Is this Time Cop? No, it's Diane Tessman telling us about things that happened to her when she was really, really young. Go ahead, please.
Well, I'm going into this right now because it's an example of not really knowing why they're doing what they're doing. They may have taken a tissue sample from me. I came to find out, like 12 years ago, I finally figured out it was the membrane, not on the outside little scar, but the whole membrane was missing. That's a fairly good tissue sample. So I asked my parents back when I just noticed the scar on the outside, did I have a little accident when I was maybe 3 years old, didn't remember it, hit my mouth on my bike, my trike, and they said no. I asked them over and over individually, and no. I looked into everything. Like, I know that mountain bikers quite often hit that area. I know that babies, when they're born, if they can't suckle, that will be kind of sliced if that happens to be extra tight, that membrane. But I asked Mom, because I was breastfed, and she said no. It would have been enough of a surgery. I mean, sore mouth. No, nothing happened. So I went along thinking it was an outside scar. I asked a plastic surgeon once in my 30s. I asked, what did he think of it? He says, it looks like a laser scar. Well, that it would have happened in 1952, so it couldn't have been a laser that we know of. Then about 12 years ago, I figured out the whole membrane inside was removed. Well, why did they remove it? Did they have selfish reasons? Whatever, DNA, damage, nuclear war, whatever. But here's another possibility. When I was 3 years old, three going on four, I was a rather sickly child. I had strep throat, tonsillitis. I know I was too skinny. Mom used to get me high shoes because she thought my ankles were skinny, which is kind of weird. But anyway, then I had these encounters at age four and possibly early five-year-old. Then by five and a half, six, I started doing acrobats, gymnastics, swinging off the chandeliers, and I've been that way the rest of my life. I've been more healthy than most people, cross fingers, knock wood. So did they have two purposes? One, for their DNA, and since it was a good-sized tissue sample, perhaps they re-engineered, weaponized a cell to go back in, and possibly I had the beginnings of childhood leukemia or something like that. I had heavy nosebleeds at age three, going into four, strep throat, and I probably would have been tested today for something like childhood leukemia. It was never tested. But it makes you wonder, what was their purpose? Did they save my life? Or did they just take this little girl and swipe her membrane? Because it is missing, and I can't, you know, if there's a mundane explanation, I accept it. I'm as valid as any other abductee, but I can't see what it would be, so I do include that in my abduction account, although I have no memory of when it happened.
Well, the taking of samples has been a fairly consistent part of the abduction experience. So, yeah, it's why they do it. I would think that, well, you know, if you're a time traveler from our own culture, that wouldn't really be necessary, because there would be a record of DNA. We've done, you know, have the Human Genome Project. It's constantly ongoing all of the time, and the amount of information that would be accumulated between now and whatever time they're from would be massive. Like, they would know in the future a whole heck of a lot more about it than we do now, so there'd be no need for them to come back to get DNA.
But they wouldn't. You could know about it, but not have the DNA.
Right now, though, I mean, we're at the point now, even in our own society, where we can actually manipulate DNA on the molecular level. So, they wouldn't need to come back. They would be so far ahead by now compared to what our science is on DNA that it would be like us trying to go back, you know, to the Roman era to think that there would be some sort of medicine from that they had that would do us any good. And you know, whether it would be using leeches or whatever it happens to be. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. But it would make sense if they didn't have DNA that was like ours and they wanted to study it. That would make a lot of sense. That's the simplest explanation. They simply don't have it, so they do need samples. If they came from us, they would have samples. They'd have the knowledge, the accumulated knowledge of hundreds of years, however far it is into the future that our civilization exists in.
You're leaving out the probability that they're artificial intelligence. They're not us, most likely, as we are right now. So, yeah, I don't know what my logic is sort of opposite to yours here. I think they have a connection to our DNA, and I'm not sure. Yeah, I can see an ET taking a tissue sample, but on and on, almost every abductee has some kind of tissue sample taken. To me, they belong here somehow. I mean, people see UFOs going over. Most times they're not landing, they're not abducting. They just see them fly by as if they belonged here. Now, Jacques Vallée makes the argument that ETs would maybe come for 5 years. They'd be intergalactic explorers. They'd maybe land 5,000 times, take samples, and then they'd move on. Why have they been around since early days, certainly since 1947? And there's the nuclear. Why do they hang around nuclear installations? Or why did they turn off the nuclear codes on the missiles? It seems to me they have a vested interest in it here that we've ignored.
I think you're right about that. I think there's something to that, that there's definitely, whatever the case is, seems to be some kind of study going on. But let's move on from there because, I mean, okay, so, you know, we can probably come up for maybe exceptions for some of these reasons, but I think that together they kind of all add up. And number three, UFO occupants, almost always humanoid.
Right, and that's this, in the words of Dr. Mike Masters, he said the ubiquity of reports describing humanoids or human-like individuals is overwhelming. Time and again, it's a small humanoid or a normal-sized humanoid. Even the scarier monsters, I always forget the name of the, could well be artificial intelligence. Well, are they our artificial intelligence or are they ET's artificial? Who is the monster that I even wrote it down for once because I can never remember it. But for instance, Kelvin Parker's the beings that took him to, then there were more humans, humanoids that he met, but the beings that first took him, the sort of mummy beings with the spikes, could have been artificial intelligence. I interrupted myself here from Dr. Masters. He said a planet with a different gravity, chemistry, distance from its sun would ever develop bipedal humanoid life that would look, act, and talk so much like us, it's very doubtful that they would arise on a planet near enough to us to allow for mutual contact and communication.
We have some mutual contact and communication here, but not from across time or across space, the final frontier. Diane Testman, we're talking about time travelers from the future. Is that what UFOs are all about? More to come with Gene and Randall. You're in
The Paracast.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So you're wearing a mask every day now?
Yeah.
Where are you getting them?
Same website where I get my neck and body wraps, sunnybay.com.
Really?
And they're handmade, just like their wraps in the USA.
Oh, and good quality?
Oh, very good. These are disposable face masks, and they make cloth face masks, too.
Good price?
That's the best part. 10 masks for only $6.
Wow.
As a public service, sunnybay.com is now making cloth face masks by hand in the Seattle area and sourcing disposable face masks with level 1 protection at sunnybay.com. Get a 10-pack of high-quality disposable face masks for only $6, or choose a handmade, washable, reusable cloth face mask with high 2 layers of quality cotton fabrics. Supplies are limited. Get details and order at sunnybay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Go to sunny-bay.com for disposable or cloth face masks. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, May 29th to June 1st for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient civilizations, crop circles, and so much more. Over 150 lectures, panels, workshops, and events with leading experts, Paul Hellyer, Linda Moulton Howe, Nick Pope, Emery Smith, Stephen Greer, Russell Targ, Doc Wallach, Leslie Kane, and more. Get your tickets at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Interesting point of view there, quoting Dr. Masters, Diane Tessman, whether extraterrestrials would necessarily have to be different than us. But if the environmental conditions of the so-called Goldilocks planet were similar, wouldn't that create the possibility of a similarity, unless they're walking insects or walking dolphins? Let's go on, please.
Yeah, I know there's the theory that you'd need to develop legs just to be the superior species, or the sentient species of a planet. You would have need to develop to be ambulatory. Well, you'd need a big brain, so you need a cranium up there, a round, keep your brain. So does it always develop in a similar way? I've heard that theory, and it could be. There's also the theory that the preservers, to use a Star Trek-like term, traveled around the galaxy and spread humanoid seeds in various planets, but to me, both of those are further stretches than simply saying in 50 years, Dr. Sarfati has a fairly convincing theory for time travel back and warping space, both of them. Now, it's just a theory. It would have to be financed and developed and tested and all of that. He had financing from the EU, Italy in particular, right as the virus hit. So that put that on hold. But his may not be the right formula. But when you consider quantum computers coming online, artificial intelligence, in 50 years, we may have time travel. These may not be from, as far as DNA also, they may not be from the Star Trek 250 years advanced. Or they could be from 5 million years in advance. There may be various. But let's say we get time travel in 25 years. There's quite a bit of time there when you consider how computers grow exponentially. Every year they say that 5 years of a computer is worth 200 years of earlier science advancement. So we could well have time travel in 50 years, and these could be literally great-great-great-grandchildren, possibly with artificial intelligence components by that time, but they're not necessarily so utterly super advanced. Dr. Sarfati thinks they're from fairly soon along the timeline. Anyway, it's a huge field to try and explain. You know, no wonder it's hard to get the book really to sell a lot, because it's terribly complicated. What are we going to be in 5 million years? Would they even mingle with those 50 years in advance? Probably not. They probably are in separate. It gets into science fiction, too. But to me, there's logical threads, again, not to exclude ETs.
We were talking about synchronicities back at the beginning of the show, and I just looked over at the clock on my computer, and I'm on a Windows 7 system, so they have the little sidebar, and I have the clock. It's a computerized image of an analog clock with the hands that are supposed to be moving, but that clock is frozen on my computer. It is not moving. And it's the first time I have ever seen it do that. Well, in the entire time I have ever owned this computer. So I just thought I would want to mention that.
That's just the power of me.
There's something going on. Okay. So almost always humanoid. Oh, reason number four, gray aliens or gray humans.
Yes, that reason isn't my favorite reason. It's simply that Travis Walton, for instance, saw first the little humanoids, and he was frightened of them. They were strange looking. But then he encountered the golden humans that were almost too perfect, perhaps partially artificial intelligence, and therefore created to look really good. again, just assuming, why do we assume that the scary little guys, when I was regressed, I remembered two of the little guys similar to Travis. Actually, my abductions had the same cast as his did, the little guys. And then the one tall, not super tall, not a Nordic, like 8 feet, just a normal tall human. But the little guys, I didn't remember until I was regressed, whereas I have a few conscious memories of the being who sat down and communicated with me, who was normal height. But the little guys, I saw one of them look like an Iowa grasshopper, so sort of insectoid, only with legs and arms, humanoid, but a more elongated head. The other one was just like a little person. What I remembered of them was I was sitting behind them on the way to meet this being I was supposed to meet, and it reminded me of my mother and father when I sat in the back seat of our old car. I was looking at the back of their heads, but I wasn't scared. I guess Travis kind of freaked out at the smaller creatures, but I think maybe I was given something to make me calm because I never was scared. I don't remember any fear, which is very weird. I acknowledge that. But anyway, I guess that gray, little gray men or gray ETs is simply a way of saying again that of the various kinds of ETs that are usually listed, there would be an argument for most of them being possibly being humanoid, human. Like the reptilians, maybe those are true ETs. I'm not saying that there aren't some ETs thrown in there just to confuse us.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean,
we're confused.
We don't have the answers, that's for sure. We don't know for sure. All we can do right now is try to come up with what seems like a reason that is more reasonable than the other reasons. And know that for those of us who've had a genuine UFO experience, that they are real. That they're not right. Just some sort of psychological manifestation. Although I suppose... it depends on who you talk to about that. But
right. Well, at 4 years old, I figure I wasn't that confused psychologically yet. So there's some good. And the 1950s did have some interesting abductions. Whoever it is seemed more open a little bit than they became, and a little nicer, just a little nicer than abductions of the 80s and 90s. And I don't know whether that's humans getting freaked out or if it was a different group of maybe they were from a different time than the 1950s. I mean, maybe they were from like 5 million years in advance, a different bunch had showed up, or from a different planet. I don't know why, but the golden age of abductions was definitely the 50s and 60s.
We've got more to come with Diane Tessman. We'll go into abductions and more coming up with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNlife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNlife.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
There's new concerns in New York as children are dying from an illness linked to the coronavirus. A rare inflammatory disease linked to COVID-19 has claimed the lives of 3 children in New York. Governor Andrew Cuomo says the illness is only happening to kids who've had COVID-19.
Children are presenting symptoms similar to Kawasaki disease or toxic shock-like syndrome. These are children who come in who don't present the symptoms that we normally are familiar with COVID.
Another staffer in the White House has tested positive for COVID-19. First, a personal valet for President Trump tested positive for the virus. On Friday, it was revealed that Vice President Pence's press secretary, Katie Miller, also tested positive. This is USA Radio News.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen.
Come
here.
On, lady. Get a move on.
Goodness.
Where'd you learn to bank anyway?
Ooh.
Whoa. Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Wasn't it a beautiful wedding?
Oh, yes, Mimi. Such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the
group? Hey, pal, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
He hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop the senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from 6 different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So as we ended our previous segment with Diane Tessman, we were talking about abductions. Now, there are theories here that abductions may be a totally unrelated experience. As a matter of fact, from time to time, Diane, we've talked about the possible resemblance between the abduction experience and the near-death experience. Have you ever looked into that or heard about it?
I've heard about it, and I respect it. I know the Whitley Strieber and Anne looked into it a lot, and I've never really connected to it particularly, but I don't dismiss it. I mean, there may be a number of phenomena that happen, and we tend to clump them all together. I had myself almost convinced that there was a dark matter biosphere, that things like ghosts and possibly UFOs came from. And then there's the simulation idea. And that can be very convincing, too. There may be any number of things that we mix together. I mean, we don't mix, for instance, ghosts and UFOs usually, but there may be some connection. And the same with death or the spirit world.
That's really interesting. We got talking about that a little bit with last week's guest, Stephen Williams, from the Memphis Spirit Rescue people, where they believe that people are in an afterlife between our earthly existence and a deeper afterlife existence that, you know, some people might call heaven or a further destination. And their job is to try and help these people cross over from this between space into the deeper afterlife. So, you know, I was saying to him, well, have you ever talked to people and asked them if they've also had UFO experiences? And he was saying that one of them had, and fairly frequently. So I think you're right. I mean, if we want to start talking about maybe the possibility that UFOs are human beings that are coming from another time or dimension or something like that, say, because we're not really sure what it is or what to call it, but that seems to be just as plausible as calling it time. I mean, another completely different right. dimension outside that involves people in afterlives is kind of the same thing. If they can come from there, where time doesn't seem to have any meaning, into right. our world, it's kind right. of almost the same idea, really.
Right. I'm right with you on that. And time, of course, is the fourth dimension. So, you know, what's the fifth and sixth? And I do believe that consciousness goes on after so-called death. So consciousness is something that runs throughout all of it. Yeah, it may be that our minds just aren't one reason there isn't a contact or, you know, coming on down and saying hi is that we just can't really handle it at the stage we're at. If you and I can't, then not to be condescending, but most people haven't thought of it as much as we've tried to think of it.
Well, you know, that tends to be true, I think. Well, I think people do tend to think that, you know, it's maybe in an abstract sense or a fantasy sense that there is some sort of an afterlife. It's a fairly common concept that we tend to get
right,
socialized
with. But there
with.
Would be a connection with all sorts of other
well, but
dimensions
even,
and all.
But that it's actually a reality is a whole other thing. It's just like people are, but most people, I think, are very comfortable with the idea that there could be alien visitation, that there could be alien visitation. But when you actually see one for yourself, it's a whole different worldview that suddenly comes into focus. No longer
right.
is it just a possibility. It's like, oh, this is the way the world is.
Right.
And then there's a big difference.
And then people don't understand that. The ones that are thinking, well, maybe that's an interesting thought. That creates a huge chasm between us who know it's something that it happened and those who haven't had it happen in quite such a... And then, of course, religions sort of define it sometimes for people, but not to get into that, but very complex.
Well, this leads us into, you know, if we're talking about where they come from, this leads into your reason number five. How far is far?
Right. The vastness of the galaxy, let alone the universe, I don't think we grasp. I mean, Star Trek, most people would say, well, they had warp drive. Well, even if you had warp, warp one would have taken you like 4,000 years to get to a planet, not just, you know, half a day later when the Enterprise was due in the next place. So you would need such advanced technology, which I suppose ETs could have, and then they would need to center on this little bitty rock. Granted, it's a beautiful gem of a planet, and we haven't appreciated it, but they'd have to find us first. Well, we're finding exoplanets, but for them to be able to travel so far and end up being humanoid and finding Earth and hanging around since time immemorial, because this gets into the ancient astronaut idea, something seems to have sort of started our civilization on its way. And I think perhaps that was future humans coming back and sort of as community organizers starting us toward a civilized, and then it's a cycle. They would have always, we always do that then. That's how, and this may be true of other races. They may always come back once they get time travel and keep themselves in the loop. But again, that's kind of science fiction. But
What do you mean? Do you mean like sort of as an immortality device?
Well, as an some sort of a consciousness device that keeps the species always on the timeline. We come back. We contact the primitive people. We sort of as community organizers, we say, build a stone edifice. We give them some technology, but we can't give them, we can't made, have it made out of the materials from 2300. No, it's made in stone, but we sort of get us out of just being heathens and barbarians and look at the early Greeks. They believed in ancient gods who, or not, they weren't ancient then, they were the gods, almost like our celebrities. They lived on Mount Olympus. They had lightning bolts, kind of like phasers or tasers. They mingled with the humans a little bit. They had children that were half god and half human. But I don't think the Greek people made that all up I think they knew that there were beings there. I don't think it was just a made up bunch of gods. There were 12 main gods. And of course, UFOs are infamous for going into mountainsides. They lived on Mount Olympus. They were beautiful, perfect humans. They weren't aliens looking. And so, again, the idea of ancient ETs or ancient astronauts, I think, makes more sense as ancient, as humans having, if they can come back to our skies, they can go back to Greek skies.
We've got more to come with Diane Tessman. I'm Gene, he's Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone, anytime. When violent crime confronts you, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For personal protection training, there's none better than Front Sight, the world's premier firearms training facility near Las Vegas, Nevada. Learn firearm skills from Front Sight's world-class instructors, led by Front Sight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza. Whether you're in law enforcement, the military, or a private citizen, after your first firearm training course at Front Sight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun-owning population, guaranteed. And now, you and your family can train at Front Sight free of charge. Yes, free. Go now to frontsight.com/radio to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course. Absolutely free with no catch. Enter FRONTSIGHT.com/radio. Act now before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsight.com/radio. Front Sight, America's gun training destination.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
I'm here with Scott Jusseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
So we're going back to look at ourselves, and we're destined to just go back through time. Of course, time travel has been such a trope on TV shows and movies, especially they have this TV show now called Legends of Tomorrow, where they have these grade Z superheroes. They keep going back through time, but here is where we get that complication of time travel or that paradox. They go back because they're trying to fix something that went wrong. And as you might expect, the humor is that they always go back and screw something else up, which again is the paradox. If you go back through time, is that the way it was meant to be? And if not, what do you change?
Well, there's another really interesting show, too. I think I've mentioned it a couple of times. It's called The Umbrella Academy. It's a limited series. And they've got time travel in there. And, Diane, that's why I kind of stopped you last time and asked if it was some sort of an immortality ploy by them. Because in that particular sci-fi series, at some point, the world becomes destroyed. But these time-traveling people from this time-traveling sect or part of civilization that exists in the past can escape it because they can always just go back in time to when the world wasn't destroyed. So they constantly live there. If they get to the point in the future where they might become destroyed, they just zap themselves back into the past. So maybe, I mean, there's an angle that I thought was actually fairly original when it comes to the whole the sci-fi time travel show.
Yeah, I would like to have Dr. Sarfati on to explain the Novikov principle because I always get tongue-tied, but it is a physics law, you know, but physics can be wrong, it can be changed in the future. But it says that we have a timeline and you can't go back and change it. You can't hop around that. If it happened, let me see, how is it worded?
Well, you know what? We can get into that a little bit later because
It's
something that is definitely interesting to me, and I've done plenty of contemplation on the whole time travel problem, but this show isn't about me, so we want to get through your book first, and that brings us to, and by the way, I think the How Far Is Far is one of the best reasons. I mean, I know people say, well, you know, maybe in the future, once we're technologically more capable And we could come up with some kind of warp drive and travel at 20 times the speed of light, but even then it's still far.
Even 20 times won't get you there to most places for a long, long time. But what gets me is that people have no trouble saying, oh, well, the ETs they have advanced, they can travel all that distance, they fold space. But time to travel back, oh, that's fantasy. Well, if you can warp space, you probably can time travel in any direction you care to. Sarfati's formula is he feels is the answer to both. It's the same answer. Be that as it may, I don't see why time travel is so out there. And for ETs to come putting through space for 10 zillion trillion years is acceptable. Or, you know, they got here in a day because they're so advanced and we're so dumb. I think that I'm getting off your schedule again here, but I think that we sell ourselves short. We're a terrible mess right now in many ways. Nobody believes that more than me. We've dug ourselves a terrible hole in a lot of ways, but we have great potential. And, you know, the 1960s, Buzz and Neil, they were on the moon, and the whole world looked at them on TV sets. And we don't really think of ourselves as even having a future. A lot of people are so fed up with everything. I guess rightly so. It seems to be kind of the popular way to be. But goodness, we have unlimited potential. We're curious. We're smart. And I don't find the fact that we found out how to time travel back so surprising. Obviously, I wrote the book, but I see us doing that. It's an engineering problem now, as Michio Kaku says.
Well, yeah, you know, I love Michio, but there's
I know
there's certain things that he comes up with from time to time. I'm one of those people that question everything, you know.
Yeah, I know.
So, and we have to, but at the same time as we question things, we also have to give it a fair chance. And I think that a lot of the ideas that you're expressing here, whether it is time travel or something else, are equally valid, whether it's time travel or not. So that's why it's a good thing for people to be open-minded about what people have to say, rather than just shutting the whole thing down because, like you said at the beginning, oh, well, time travel is impossible, and therefore none of what you say has any relevance. And
they say Einstein said it's impossible, as if they were, you know, following the religion of Einstein.
Right.
Which was making turn in his grave.
I mean, even if it is impossible, that doesn't mean that there's not a lot of things that you're talking about that are relevant to the phenomena.
And so, he never did say it was impossible.
I don't know what he said about time being. I know that it's a variable in the equations that physicists and cosmologists use, but whether or not it can correspond to an objective reality, that's another question. But regardless of how you look at it, the how far is far part, that's true. I mean, unless they come from Proxima Centauri. Apparently there's a planet there, and that's only 4.5 light years away. So even at a half the speed of light, we could get there and back within a human lifetime. So, you know, it's not all stars are far away. Many of them are.
But would we have warp speed? Could we fold space and not deal with time? Because it's space-time written as one word. So it's almost automatic. Something happens with time if you fold space. Anyway.
Well, right. The thing is that a lot of people confuse time as being a spatial dimension, but when they talk about it as a dimension in space-time, that's more of a convenience term. It's not like length, width, you know, breadth, height, that type of
thing. Right,
right. It's just another aspect. So the word dimension becomes synonymous with aspect, whereas length, breadth, and width are spatial dimensions.
Yeah, I agree.
Time is not a spatial dimension in any way, shape, or form. It's just another aspect or variable within the equations that they use to make their calculations.
But space, that is like an ocean of material, it's not a void or a vacuum, does have a component of time. I don't know how to say that any better, but yeah, not so much length and width, but space-time is what needs to be folded in order to warp space-time. You know, that's a sort of a different...
Right, that's when you start talking about what's called Minkowski space, and yeah. The idea that space is not uniform, but that it has ripples in it. Mm-hmm. That's not something everyone agrees on, but it is a good model to describe the behavior of things in space. Anyhow, we yes. were supposed to go there later. After reason number five, we've got reason number six. Researchers of grandparents, internet, flora, and fauna.
Yes, it may be that it's nothing so serious as nuclear contamination of future Earth, that there, but maybe it's just a field assignment for college students in the future, that you come back into the ancestors' time, you stay to yourself, but your ship can be seen, but you don't actually interact, and perhaps they're trying to figure out the effect of Agent Orange the resulting insecticides, pesticides that came out of that period of time, and how DNA differs. This might be one reason, just for scientific reasons. I mean, why do scientists look into things that aren't earth-shaking? Well, just to have a study on it. The insecticides, Agent Orange entered in back in the 70s. A college student might do some research on this. So it might be something like Visit Earth 101 in your college, your final year of college. Just the fact that you can travel back in time, I'm sure that it opens up that they have opportunities for coming back to study it.
We'll find out what kind of sense it makes when Randall and Jean and Diane return. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
It what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.